again.
Yeah, John, please check in November 4, Delta Juliet, Charlie, N4DJC, Jerry and Anderson. Negative, night. I'm checking in with my handheld, so I don't know whether the signal is getting any good or not. Have a good evening.
Jerry, my finger slipped again. Give me your call sign one more time.
November 4, Delta, Juliet, Charlie.
Good. I would like to recognize N4DJC. I just figured out what's happening. I keep hitting the E under the 4, and therefore no number shows up in your call sign, and it gives me a you don't exist indication. But anyway, thanks for stopping by, Jerry. Appreciate it. Any other check-ins? Alpha through Zulu, Zulu for Alpha. Please call KN4RJN. Ready for comments, please call KN4RJN. All right. Tomorrow night, according to my calendar, your net control will be NY4G Ariel, and I'm sure he would appreciate your patronage tomorrow, and please check in with him. We would like to now secure the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, and thanks to all who checked in and all who had comments. You all have a good night. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. KN4RJN. W4DJW. KN4RJN, are you prepared to copy my net report?
W4DJW, ready to copy.
KN4RJN, please copy my message number 03272020024, 27 March 2020. Routine abbreviated, check-ins 48, one piece of traffic, couple of comments, now copy.
Copy your message number 03272020 for 27 March 2020 from KN4RJN to W4DJW, 48 check-ins, that's a good net, and one piece of traffic. W4DJW, back to net control. Appreciate you calling the net tonight, John.
KN4RJN, thank you, sir. This is KN4RJN, net control for Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Now returning the repeater to normal amateur radio operations. You all have a good night.
KN4UBG.
Good evening, Kevin. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm just going to check with y'all and see if anybody else out there has been giving out any of the papers and stuff that they are requiring for all this COVID-19, like for going out of the state, or if you are working, you're supposed to have a piece of paper in your vehicle. That way, if you get pulled over and they ask where you're going to, you have to show them that piece of paper. Is anybody else out there experiencing that, or is it just us?
My concern, which is why I want to tell my stepdaughter, get the hell out of New York City. I'm worried about the National Guard shutting the city down. New York City is an island. There's not a lot of choke points. Maybe I've been watching too many movies.
K4ZZX.
KD2BNG, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been experiencing that. I've got a small business and a couple trucks. One of my sons works in a automotive industry. He asked a letter. I had to go through Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, and get my drivers certified and get them with a piece of paper so they can not only get back and forth, but we don't have any issues taking a truck through a state which is under a quarantine or a mandatory lockdown, or if it even gets worse. The thing is, we're avoiding the northeast like a plague right now, because it's just about a plague. Break.
Well, that was the question that I had, because we had a meeting this morning on the, whatever you call it, like where they do the conference call thing with all of our companies, all over North Carolina, Tennessee, South Carolina, down in Columbia, our division here in Greenville, the residential division. There were several of us on the conference call this morning. We had two conference calls. One was with all the big wheels, was telling us about, I don't know, something about the, if something happens or something, that we're supposed to take pictures and send it in to our supervisors through our tablets and different things. And they sent that letter, they gave us that letter today and said, you know, if we plan on driving in personal vehicles or whatever we decide to ride to work or whatever, that we had to have that piece of paper in order if we got pulled over or got stopped, that they would know, you know, where we going or what we doing. And I was just curious if anybody else out there was experiencing the same thing, but evidently it must be going to be for all of us. It's just still going to be working. That's the only thing I can figure.
Self, no bloody idea. My only concern is that will people be able to get in and out? You know, that would, maybe I saw too many movies, like that movie, the remake of The Last Man on Earth, where the army basically bombs the bridges into New York City to cut off New York City. I don't know if it's going to get to that point. You know, as for myself, I don't need or want to go anywhere. I'm retired. I don't have to travel or work. But I'm concerned for my my family who's still in the New York City area. I don't know if you remember the movie I'm talking about. It starred Will Smith. And early on in the movie, the Air Force basically blows up all the Hudson River bridges and all the East River bridges to isolate New York. Because there was no way to control the virus. So, you know, cut off New York, let it die. And New York's an island. There's not that many ways in and out. Whitestone Bridge, Throgs Neck Bridge, the East River bridges, a couple of others, Verrazano Bridge. So if you're on Long Island or New York City, you know, too bad.
Because I am a legend. You're welcome, K4RHF.
Remake of another. There was another one. Last Man on Earth was in 1964, starring Vincent Price. I Am Legend, I think, was a remake of that, and it may or may not have been known by the same name in certain markets. Yeah, I Am Legend. It was a remake of the 64 movie with Vincent Price, I think, which I've also seen, which also wasn't a bad movie. You know, maybe, let's, you know, again, I'm thinking crazy. Let's not get crazy here.
KN4RJN, you know, you could always take a boat.
Yeah, to get off Long Island, there's enough seaports. And in fact, at one time, they were thinking of building a across Long Island Sound from, like, Fort Washington over, like, Bridgeport, Connecticut. What would that be, like a 20 or 30 mile bridge? But yeah, if you got a boat, you're fine. There's any one of a dozen seaports.
Stay away from the cruise ships, though.
Vader, what was it a few years back, that Norwalk virus that was on one cruise ship? Or Legionnaire's disease, or whatever it is on cruise ships. Yeah, you know, a cruise ship is basically a sealed virus factory. Although on the plus side, it's a virus factory with good food and liquor.
Well, there is that, too. Anyway, I'm on back on out of here. KN4RJN, I'm clear.
KN4RJN. Yeah, I don't know, man. It kind of worries me. I mean, you know, we've lived through a lot of different things, man. And like everybody done said, you know, we've had a lot of other things out there just as bad as this. But I don't know. I don't think here in South Carolina, I don't think we've seen close to being the peak of it yet. I think these people, like, you know, that owns their company knows more than we do. You know, because they're from Sweden and Finland. And we had a meeting with them all this morning on a conference call. We had two conference calls with them this morning for about 30 minutes apiece. And for them to give out that piece of paper, I mean, they must be, you know, planning on doing something that we don't know about yet. I don't know, for us to have it in the personal vehicles or whatever we ride to work, so that means I'm going to have to put one in my personal car and my motorcycle, so that way, you know, if I decide to ride the bike one day, I'll have one on it, and I'll have one in the personal car, too, in case my wife has to take me. But, I don't know. It's just kind of a little on the frustrating side and a little bit on the worried side. You know, they're talking about laying people off, and they said that's going to be the last resort. But I guess it will come down to whatever it comes down to, I guess.
I'm studying a program and listening to you guys. I'm trying to untangle a program to get it working. But interesting conversation. I don't know. It's kind of hard to speculate. You're inside. You're hoping that it's the numbers we're going to plateau and it's going to start dropping. And I think when people see that, everything will be cool. But as long as that number is rising, I think anxiety is rising with it. Right? Until we find that point where we hit that flat spot. That's all we know, right? We don't know how high it's going to go. But we do know the more people that self-isolate, the sooner we're going to hit that curve, that inflection point where that curve stops going up and it starts going over. W4DJW.
WJW, KD2BNG. I have something that I posted to Facebook. It was a New York Times, might have originally been from NPR. It shows what happens if it says social distancing for 14 days and social distancing for 2 months. If you do social distancing for 14 days and then business as usual, you have 128 million infections. For 2 months, you have 14 million infections. So the curve flattens out a lot the longer you maintain, you know, self-quarantine. And this is actually an interactive type of chart. You can drag the slider back and forth to, you know, to see what various time periods will do. And it also breaks it down, I think, by, you know, infected, recovered, you know, not recovered, dead, whatever. Where did this chart come from? Let me see if I can bring it up on the...
Either get laid off or can't work. So, I don't know. Just a lot to take in, man. I mean, it's really a lot to take in. You know, and a lot of people, I mean, that's like me. I mean, you know, I require on a paycheck every week, you know. I mean, I don't have a lot of money saved back. And, you know, that's you know, I know a lot of people out there, you know, the lower end people, you know, but I mean, if you got millions in the bank and stuff like that, I guess a lot of people will be all right, you know, but I don't know. I don't know what the bill collectors and all that stuff's going to do. I mean, I don't know, you know, if you get down to where you can't work and, you know, are they going to come out and cut your power off because you can't work, or they, you know, they're going to work with you because it's something that we're not recommended to shut down for. I mean, you know, because the government's shutting us down, you know. That's, you know, that's some of the key questions out there. You know, I mean, how's all the bill collectors going to take all that?
Companies have already said, power companies, utility companies, said that to a large degree they will forgive a certain number of late payments. You even have Ford and GM and all the others advertising on the TV saying, for now, you know, for right now, Ford is forgiving or allowing you to delay 3 months' worth of payments. So, you know, the big companies in this country, as unlikely as it seems, may be coming up to bat and finally realizing, yeah, we're not going to get paid, but if too many people are dead, we don't have any customers. but it was an interesting chart. It was an interactive chart. You could drag the slider and see, okay, if we practice quarantine for this long, there'll be this many dead, recovered, wounded, you know, whatever, infected. And the curve flattens out dramatically the further along you push the slider toward, you know, the higher number of days. So trying to restart the economy by Easter, let's say, you know, may be a mistake.
So let me see if I got it, because there's been a lot of doubling. I think Glenn, you and Kevin doubled for a little bit there. And one time he won out and one time you won out. That was kind of strange. But I'm looking for that calculator, Glenn. Let me see if I got it. Yeah, I'm looking for that calculator. But, Glenn, you nailed it. You nailed right on. I mean, if too many people pass away, right, we peak out our healthcare system and people don't get what they need, the people that finance things aren't going to get their – they're just going to lose. And they know that, right? They are full aware of that. So there are things that are going in place right now. I know because I'm receiving them at work, that are telling us how to handle when you come across that situation and what to do. They do not want people to pass away. They want people to continue on, get past this, and get back on our yellow brick road that we were on before all this happened. So, yeah, Glenn, you nailed it. You are exactly right. And, Kevin, I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to reflect that. They want to get over this as bad as you do.
The big businesses is realizing, well, live people pay late, but dead people don't pay at all.
Good way to look at it. You know, I mean, that's a better way to look at it. But I don't know, man. It's just a lot to take in. I mean, you know, all this stuff started in China and different places, and now it's here. You know, that's just I don't know. Right now, it's just a world of chaos out there right now.
Accurately, I think it's to say it's back here. This virus is genetically related to the SARS virus. Remember the SARS virus? 2002-2004, also originated in China. In fact, the exact name of the little virus particle is called SARS-CoV-2. Now, they eradicated it in China. They eradicated SARS before a vaccine could be developed. Now, fast forward 8 years to the Middle East, 2012, you have the MERS virus, Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, which was also genetically similar to, guess what, the SARS virus. And work was started on that vaccine, but that epidemic was also contained. So every 8 to 9 to 10 years, a similar virus seems to be reemerging. Hell, maybe there'll be a COVID-28 virus eventually. You know, viruses, you say a virus is eradicated, but it never really is. The only virus that's ever confirmed to be eradicated was smallpox. Viruses go back into hiding, they mutate, they come back out again.
Glenn, you need to find where you had that dynamic calculator. I'd like to see that. I've seen a few of them, but the one that you were talking about sounded like the best that I've heard of yet.
RL is too long to read. I wish I know where I found it in the first place. It was in the New York Times. Let me do a couple of searches.
Walkie-talkie off a repeat, and I'll come back to you in a second. KN4, UBG.
Hey, Doug, I hear you.
Good deal. I had done a little bit of work on my antenna. I had trimmed a little bit off the radiator element and a little bit off the radio. I ended up getting it down, like, on the transmit frequency for this, for the O and O, for transmit frequency. I actually got it down to 1.07 SWR.
Well, that's good. You're not as clear as you were last night, but I don't think that's your antenna. I think that's conditions, because I heard a lot of scratchy people on the net tonight. I think with the temperature inversion coming, you're going to have good days and bad days. And I think today was one of the bad days. That is very true with VHF, especially when you're a long distance from the repeater, and you're probably one of the longer, you're getting out there where the umbrella starts to curve and drop off. But in Tocoa, I think that's the way it's configured right now. Probably you're on the edge.
I have the coax, if you was in the bedroom, I have the antenna tacked to the ceiling. About 6 inches down is where it hangs, and I got some of that mason line going up to a little tack right now. And then, I guess 10, 12 feet away, I have coax that goes down, runs over, and then I'm on the other side of the room with the handheld with the coax. But if I set one spot, then I receive. If I set another, it's just like nobody's transmitting. It's weird.
So the transmission line is moving around, but the antenna is staying at a fixed location?
Yeah, the antenna stays still, but the coax is flying around and the radio.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. That might indicate you've got a piece of coax in there that may be sensitive to being bent.
Yeah, I got the URL for this page, but it's too long. Unless you can mail or text.
Is there a Google search that you can give me that will lead me to the same one that you found there? What's some of the keywords on the page?
I searched with DuckDuckGo for New York Times Interactive Coronavirus, and the article is Coronavirus Spent Tracking the Global Something.
I got three maps. Is it a map? Is that how it works?
It starts with nytimes.com/interactive/2020/world/... Wait, is that the map? Hold on.
Well, I found that one. It said it wants my email address to go in. Did you have to give it an email address?
I did. Okay, how did I get here? If I could text or email the URL. Yeah, I'm trying to... How did I get here? I must have... I shortened the... Cut and paste the URL from the Facebook page. But how I got that URL, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I found another link that had it too, and I went to that one and it did the same thing. It says log in or... Give us your email address. Or it does say I continue with Chrome or Google, iPhone or Facebook, but I'm not going to give them my information. I get too much junk mail as it is already. W4DJW.
All right, not sure I can help you right now. I'm on my second whiskey here, so I'm a little fuzzy to begin with.
Corona.
Where did I read someone actually, some idiot. Oh, the connection between coronavirus and Corona beer. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I'll tell you, the last time I drank Corona beer was the 2017 total eclipse on August something 2017. I had my Corona. I'm looking up at the sun, Corona, Corona. Papa Corona.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff, man. A lot of people out there joking about their corona, about that. Yeah, I don't know. It's something to look forward to, man. And hopefully we all get past it. Hopefully it ain't gonna strike us as bad as they think it's going to. But I don't. We'll have to just sit back and wait and see, I guess.
Has very, very, very robust. They got a very, very excellent public health care system, and they're getting overwhelmed. You know, the health care system around here, not so much. You know, all right, maybe I'm biased from the north, but you had excellent public health care, and they're getting slammed. If we have a tenth as many cases in South Carolina, we're not going to be able to keep up here.
Doing that, because a lot of the hospitals around here, you know, I don't know, I don't like a lot of the hospitals, name about two or three that I go to, you know, that makes it a little easier. But, I don't know, like the Hillcrest over here by my house, you know, Hillcrest Hospital System, which is GHS, you know. I don't know. I don't like going to that place because every time you go there, you sit there for 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours, and they don't even know what's going on when you get there.
Hospital I'm thinking of, no, don't even. I'd sooner die. yeah, they're one of the worst. I tell you what was good, Spartanburg General, or Spartanburg, it's up off of 85, like exit 54, that's a good hospital. You know, if I ever want to die, if they take reservations, you take reservations, I want to come there to die. They were a very good hospital.
A few good ones around here, but there ain't too many of them. A lot of the good doctors, you know, done retired, got out of the health care, keep them getting sued back when all that suing stuff was going on with different things. It's really hard to find a good doctor. St. Francis over in Greenville, that's a pretty good hospital. Depending on what time you go or whatever, you know, Greenville Hospital System's right there on Highway 20. They got some pretty good doctors in there at different times, but I don't know, I've come out better by going to St. Francis downtown than I have anything.
Christian Care Clinic in Spartanburg with an asthma attack. They're like, sorry, you're too sick to come here. Go to St. Francis. St. Francis actually, well, you know, asthma eventually goes, you know, I was having a bad asthma attack. But they actually failed to diagnose the fact that, oh, by the way, you also happen to have flu. I was sitting around in one of the treatment rooms for almost an hour, and I start to say to myself, man, it's cold in here. Oh, wait, I have a fever. Oh, well, that explains quite a lot.
Roger. Yeah, that's the way it usually goes, man. I went up there for several things. I went up there thinking I was having a heart attack, and they told me that I was stressed out and having panic attacks. And never could find nothing. And I went to St. Francis downtown over there, and they done a heart cath and all that stuff and checked everything. And said there wasn't nothing wrong with my heart. So they couldn't figure out what was going on as far as why I was having, heart attack symptoms. And they checked to see if I was having a stroke or any of that stuff. There wasn't no sign of it, you know, but the doctor said it could lead up to that point. And he told me he thinks it's my anxiety. When I get so frustrated and get so stressed out, that it was causing heart attack symptoms, and they put me on a Valium. I was supposed to take two of those or four of them a day or something like that, and I took them for about the first week, and that was about it. I never did take them no more.
I may have the same problem. No, you're not having a heart attack. You're having panic attacks. And you know, there can be little difference between the two, as far as the observer is concerned. Yeah, feels just like a heart attack, doesn't it? Feels like an eagle's claws ripping your heart out of your chest. Your pulse rate goes up to like, oh, I don't know, close to 200. You can't catch your breath. Your breathing is labored. No, you're having panic attacks. And they may be idiopathic. There may be no reason. There may be no stress involved. It might be like me. I have like a sinus arrhythmia. Hey, as far as I know, I may have had a heart attack and not known about it. But somehow I don't think so. But the two can be very similar.
They told me the same thing. You know, they told me that it was just panic attacks because, you know, they had me hooked up on the heart machine when it actually took place, and they told me that, you know, they wasn't no sign of a heart attack or nothing. That I was just having some type of panic attacks, and well, I don't know. I mean, I ain't took the medicine in probably over a year, and it's really calmed down. I'm just learning how to deal with it. You know, when it hits, I just have to quit what I'm doing and just walk off, you know, and you know, just kind of, like, you know, not be stressed out. I mean, sometimes I'm not even stressed out when it happens. I mean, it's just not even frustrated or nothing. It just hits me like I'm having a heart attack, you know, and I get where I can't hardly breathe. And start getting dizzy, and I just walk off, maybe give me something to drink or something, and, you know, what I've been doing, walking off, smoking a cigarette, you know, and it seemed like it calms my nerves back down, and I'm good to go. It's just like it pops up out of the middle of nowhere. I've been dealing with that for, I don't know, about 6-7 years now, maybe even 8 years, and can't figure out, you know, what it really is. But I've noticed I got a muscle relaxer. It's a, I can't remember what they call that. It is, I think it's 300 milligrams, 375 milligrams or something like that. But it's a Soma. And I can take that when it's doing it, and believe it or not, it calms down, don't happen no more. I sleep good and everything when I do that. So, I mean, it could be something to do with my nerves.
Did you look at the EKG tape? Now, you probably didn't know what you were looking at, but I'll tell you what I think you probably were looking at. You were looking at horizontally compressed but normal QRS complex. In other words, sinus tachycardia. So no sign of an abnormal. A heart attack would cause, you know, a distorted EKG, but, you know, normal, just horizontally squashed. Did they say that you had a normal EKG?
I had normal EKGs and all that stuff, so that everything came back normal. And they even went in and checked all my heart valves. They went in and checked all around my heart for blockages and different things. And I tell you what really caused it. Back about 8 years ago, I was working over on 290, right across from Krispy Kreme Donut right there, almost at the foot of that hill. There's a Greenville County Vocational School right there. If you was to get off 385 on the 291, headed back toward Barnes Road, it's at the foot of that hill on the right. I was up in there, and there was four of us out there. There was a crew showed up to help us finish the door that I was putting up, and I was holding the ladder, and I was looking up. And he said something, and I was laughing. And when I started laughing, there was something from right here at the top of my chest muscle up the side of my neck, all the way up to my head, hit me. I mean, it's like you shoved a rod up through one of my valves. started feeling weird, got weak, and got real nervous. I mean, I'm talking about nervous, like I couldn't stand still nervous. And started shaking and carrying on, and I'm like, what is this? And that's when it really took place. From that day on, about every week or every 2 weeks, it was hitting me like a heart attack. And told the doctor about all of it, and they checked all that. They put the dye in there, run me through a donut hole and all that stuff, and said, you know, I didn't have no blockages or anything like that. They checked my kidneys to make sure I didn't have no blockages to my kidneys. They checked something else, my liver or something, to make sure I didn't have no blockages to any of that. And they were still trying to figure out why that. It just felt like you took like a quarter-inch rod and just shoved it up through my vein and hit me right above my ear on the left side of my head. And, you know, I thought it might have been a stroke. So when I got off work, as soon as we finished that door, I left, went to the shop, dropped my helper off, came home, and went to the hospital right afterwards. And never could find nothing. And never understood it. But that's what they told me. They was thinking it was panic attacks.
Story sounds like mine, except I've had this on and off for almost 30 years. I remember the first time it happened, it came out of the blue. You know what? I have no medical knowledge of any kind. But look for an adrenal adenoma, basically a growth or a tumor on the adrenal gland. And also look possibly for a growth on the thyroid gland. But, yeah, I can't describe over the radio what it looks like. But probably if I saw the tape, at least I know how to interpret the left and right leads. I don't know what the other leads mean. But I'd probably see an almost normal EKG.
Well, I think that's the way it was with me. I think mine was pretty much about normal. But I don't know what causes it. But, I mean, at times it just bugs me. But other than that, I mean, I've learned how to deal with it and just go on with it. But it still makes me wonder from time to time. It hits hard at times. But, well, I'm going to have to cut the trail, and I got to go in here and sit down with the wife for a little bit. I came home and went to sleep. Didn't wake back up about 8:15. And I'm going to go in here and sit down and spend a little time with her and get ready for tomorrow, I guess, see what we got planned for tomorrow before everything gets shut down. I'll say 73s to you out that way, and you have a good one. You and Dave, everybody that's out there listening, have a good night, and we'll talk with everybody a little later on. KN4 UBG, I'll be clear on your final.
4 UBG, KD2 BNG. Well, thanks for the QSO, probably longer than needed to be. I gotta get to sleep or have another drink or something. But 73s to everybody who's still out there listening, and we'll catch you all again later. JD2BG, I'll be clear. Although if I hear the radio from the next room, I'll answer it. But good night, stay well.
Catch you later, Glenn. Kevin, good talking to you. I'm going to call it a night as well. W4DJW, clear.
W4DJW, I made a couple adjustments. Can you give me a little report here? I relocated the antenna a little bit.
Okay, you're back up. It's back in there. Whatever you did worked.
Oh, you're in Fountain Inn, and you sound good in Fountain Inn. You have a good one, Doug. 73 KU4EBG. I'll be clear.
Appreciate it, y'all. Appreciate the radio check and everything. KN4SMK, I'll be clear.
Lock it down, Doug. Sounds good. W4DJW clear.